Ope muanyo menina edi Nana nyameni ya wakano nebebe mo Tawuma usa swabi ponyine tutu So my body don't lose God Can wako madoye Everybody sing it hallelujah Hallelujah Everybody sing it hallelujah Hallelujah Make we sing oh yeah Oh yeah Say happy single. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Now move inside my chassis. The choir my samba. Yeah. I want you to me fair mountain and woman say my wife.
Hi guys, welcome to Chick Chat Live. My name is Cornelia and I have some special guests in the studio with me today, and we're gonna be talking about procrastination and the modesty of a single woman. Joining me is Wanu Okoye, retail entrepreneur. Thank you for coming. And Sika Osai. Actress and 53 Extra presenter.
Cut it.
And last but certainly not the least, Zerai, designer and image consultant extraordinaire. Thanks for joining me, ladies. So I want to talk to, you know, the viewers for a second. You know how, like, you have this idea and, you know, you're slow on the come up and then somebody else comes and just does it right before you, thinking, overthinking, and you end up not doing it? Yeah, it's called procrastination. So I have my guests with me who are going to share some of their tips on procrastination. So I'm going to throw it to you, Zerai. Has this ever happened to you where you, you know, sat on an idea and done it before you?
Many times.
So does it make you want to let it go, or what have you kind of done about it? Do you still think I'm still going to do it, or I'm not going to bother anymore?
Well, for me, literally, if I have an idea, probably like loads of ideas, I'll probably think, okay, you now, you faffed it, you're doing it. So when I come back and to do it myself, I have to change something.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, there's space for everyone. You just have to be individual in whatever you do. So for me, I think moving back was one of those things I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept on going, nah, and then next thing, come back, everybody's here.
Yeah,
doing exactly what you wanted to do. Take, okay, let me just watch.
Right.
And then take my notes and tick off things they're doing that I already had planned.
So it kind of hinders you from doing it because you feel somebody has
fucked
your idea in your head.
And you're like, okay, let me now rearrange and fit in properly to know how my idea that is different can fit in.
So Sika, with you, I know you probably, I know we're in the same line of work. So ideas are flowing.
Yes.
Have you had something almost, like she said, fapped from you?
I mean, first of all, let me just start that I'm a horrible procrastinator.
Right.
It's something that's really bad. Every New Year's, I'm writing on my list, I will not procrastinate. Mm-hmm. I will not procrastinate, and I still do it. So it's something I definitely have to work on. Also, I kind of feel like it's hard to say it's my idea. I kind of feel like there's no new idea under the sun. It's really just about how you put your spin on it,
mm-hmm.
how you put your, you know, your unique personality on it. So it doesn't necessarily stop me from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I may tweak it a little bit here and there, but I may still have that idea and just say, you know what, I'm gonna put that Sika sauce on it. You understand?
But I find that with me, it definitely holds me back because I just feel, oh, someone's done it. It doesn't feel original anymore.
I think, but you make it original. I mean, think about it. Tyra Banks has done it. Oprah has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen does it. The Real is here. The View is here. Pretty much the same idea. What makes it different is the personalities and what you put on that spin.
So you're a fan of put your spin on it and still do it anyway.
Let's put the sauce.
Okay.
We'll put the sauce on it.
Yeah. I'm going to pass on to Wanu. So Wanu, you've obviously set up 2 retail stores. It must have taken, like, you know, a lot from you being in Nigeria to set up those spaces. How did you battle overthinking things?
Oh, you can't. No, but I mean, for me, I'm not a big procrastinator. I actually always do. I do what I say I'm going to do when I'm going to do it.
So I know that's right.
So I'm very, very like, listen, if I say I'm going to do something at 2, I'm going to do it at 2. I try really hard to be diligent and faithful in everything that I do. But of course, there are times because ideas are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's thinking the exact same thing at the exact same moment that you're doing it. So But like they said, you know, it really just depends on you and putting your own spin, your own idea, your own feel and sexiness.
So
to
what
it.
Did you? So what do you, what steps do you take to achieving goals? When you set goals, like, do you say, okay, I'm waking up every morning at 5 o'clock and I'm going to? For me, what helps me with procrastination is my main tip is finding a champion. Okay. I think everybody needs one person who truly believes in you, because sometimes an idea seems big. You start with, okay, I want a little creche or you know a daycare, and then it becomes, oh, I want 10 schools, and it could be so big, and then it becomes so big that it's unattainable. So I find that a champion, you know, one girl who's going to tell you the truth, you know what I mean, and who's always going
to
push you.
You champion yourself, because what if that person
that's
isn't
true.
There when you need
that's
them
true.
So for me, what I find is, you know, it's not enough to set goals. You have to do, you have to add milestones to everything. So if you say, I'm going to get my hair done today, you need to put milestones to it. How, what do I need to get my hair done? So I need to wake up. I need to bring out my hair. I need to bring out my hair bag. I need to, you know, so you need to put all those steps
like
in
a personal
every
schedule.
Single goal that you need to achieve, because otherwise you're not going to get there. So it's not enough to just say, oh, I'm going to do something big and amazing, and you don't have the specific steps. Because that way, it gives you a bigger picture, bigger overview of every single thing that you need to do to make those moves. Otherwise, you're not going to do them.
They call people, some people dreamers, no actions. Right. And they say, oh, I'm procrastinating. No, you're not procrastinating.
You're not doing anything.
And if you're dreaming, there's no point, because you haven't got, like she said, milestones and goals of what and how you want to get it done. So if I'm procrastinating and planning, that's okay. But not, you're not doing it. Just go, hey, tomorrow I'll be president. Can you speak properly? Can you do this and all that?
I think when she said plan, I think that's very important. One statement or one saying that sticks out to me a lot is, if you fail to plan,
you plan to fail.
And it applies to everything. I realize that when I'm going into something and I haven't put much preparation in, whether I'm even interviewing somebody, I come out of the interview thinking, man, I should have asked
this.
That question. I could have done that. I mean, that happened with me with some big celebrities, and I was just like, okay, Sika, you need to go back to the table. So it doesn't matter how many times you've done it, you have to plan.
Okay,
so take little steps doing it.
I get that, but especially in Lagos. The reality is, with some
traffic.
Of these ideas require money. I wouldn't even, the logistics and the operation are even different. But that whole, you're waiting for big money. You know what I mean? For a long time, I know I was waiting for one big 10 million naira to drop from somewhere. You know what I mean? And
because
that money never, ever comes.
Especially in current economic.
Nobody's giving any money.
Things. People can actually, like, support you from seeing your zeal to do something. So,
you
know, I'll do this thing with you. Let's see how it goes. Because you're giving them that vision of, by so time, this is where I'll be. So they don't mind moving with you with that.
And one of the biggest things that I've learned in that regard is, if you have something that's really, really big, a massive project that you want
small.
To do, think about what the minimum viable project product is. What is the smallest, cheapest, easiest thing that I can do,
fraction of the project,
of that big project that I can do to start with. So it could be a very, very small thing that doesn't necessarily require as much funding as
the big
bigger project. But then at least you're taking little steps towards getting to that big, massive thing.
And also, I kind of feel like we're afraid to ask people for help. It's okay. Ask them
that's
for help. What's the worst they can say?
No.
You carry your cloth, you keep it moving. You know, just ask people for help. Some people will actually help you free of charge. And that happened to me when I was doing my short films. And now I have people saying, we believe in your vision. We're going to invest. But I had to put in that effort to start off with.
Exactly.
So essentially, people shouldn't hold back.
Never. My dad says something
goals.
All the time. Just because that person ran to the finish line and got there first doesn't mean they're going to be there. You at the end can just come and take them out. So it's always nice to observe. Take your
and
time.
Another thing I feel like in terms of this is why I said find a champion is sometimes I think we overthinking you second guess yourself. And you can literally talk yourself out of the idea. You talk yourself into it. It's so big, unattainable. You're thinking, oh, it's so big now, oh, dead. And you literally just carry on in the same mundane life. But if we are to live our purpose-filled life, as they say, a purpose-driven life, I think we can no longer sit on those ideas. You actually have to. What was it that you said? Attainable? What was it? Short. she said something really smart.
Exactly. Those bursts of smartness.
So basically, set attainable, small fractions of those little things that you can start with now.
She said something about you.
Can I just ask something though? Let me just play the devil's advocate a little bit. I mean, you go to a lot of inspirational seminars and motivational speakers, even when you hear them online, whatever. I mean, they constantly say, set attainable goals, mm-hmm. stay focused or whatever, mm-hmm. but a lot of them don't give you practical ways yes. to do so.
Right.
So I feel like if we could actually get to the nitty-gritty mm-hmm. and say, this is what you have to do.
It's so funny you say this, because I actually do this for a lot of people. Yeah. Probably why I said all those things I said. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. I work with a lot of friends, family, and other people even who pay me to do this, to be there, a startup coach or a business coach. Mm-hmm. And what it does is just literally tells you specific things that you need to do on your own.
Exactly.
You know, to help you sort of design your business model. So at the end of the sessions, you know exactly what it is you're doing, your business is. You know where your money is coming from. You know where your revenue streams are. You know where your costs are. You know who your customers are.
Exactly.
You know your value proposition. You know everything. So there are actually people out there who do that, who will help you handhold you, because it's a lot of people can't do it.
But there are people who have sent those business proposals and they have been stolen. Yeah. And, people end up doing what it is. So a lot of people are very protective of their ideas.
They're like, oh, this is a concept. This is how we're going to do next year.
You still need to share, because you can't. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
No election has ever been won on
every idea.
Okay, so in summary, let's kind of just, give tips. You guys don't feel like, did you agree that women should be bolder and make better decisions?
I think they already do.
Better decisions.
I think they already do.
Braver decisions. Sorry, my bad. That's what I meant.
I think they already do.
I don't think that women.
Maybe more selfless decisions?
Yes. That's the right word, yeah.
Because we do hold back, but then again, our makeup is such that we think of others before we think of ourselves.
I guess that's our maternal side.
Yeah.
With our mothers.
I think
I don't
want to
lose that either. Because
think that if you continue to think that way, you're ever going to get things. I'm not saying you shouldn't put your family first, but a man is not going to think about his wife and his children before
some
he goes and does
do
something.
He better.
If you think about it, a man doesn't think about, I mean, he'll think about his family, you know what I mean? But he's not going to think about you before he makes a decision. We automatically think.
Any man that will claim
you. Listen, that's true. Because before I even go
anywhere, makeup. Yeah, you think about it.
I think about, oh my goodness,
what
who's going to pick up my kids?
Who's going to pick? Yeah.
You automatically think
also
yourself.
My
children
eat.
Yeah.
Who's going
to
pick them up from school?
To feed
my
own
if I decide
bones.
I'm going to go away for the weekend, who's going to stay with them?
Yeah.
You know, so you have to think about everything. I can't just get up and travel.
Because you're not just about you anymore.
And that is a fair choice.
It's not just about you anymore. There are people that depend on you.
I just decide now I wanted to go and do a course that I've been wanting to do for so long and just bugger off and just go. I couldn't do that.
Which is why I say we need to make braver decisions, because I think if you don't firmly state that I want to do this and solicit your partner's support, you're always going to be stuck in that, my children,
if it wasn't for you people, I would have been.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that is, in a sense, procrastination, because your husband is probably not holding you back.
Yeah.
You just haven't said.
That can also breed resentment.
So I'm going to let you summarize three points, because you seem to be the smart guy in here. Yeah, so just give our guests three points to kind of work
in
towards
summary,
achieving that.
Yeah, okay.
In summary.
First thing that we spoke about was, just go for it. Do it. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Don't be worried that somebody else is doing what you said you were going to do. It's mm-hmm. fine. Just do it and put your own secret sauce on it.
You know?
I'm going to bottle that and sell it.
Just give somebody an idea.
The second thing is don't be discouraged by the size of your dream or the amount of money you need to do it. Find the minimum viable product that you can find that product that you can do that's less, expensive, more cost effective.
So let's break it down for people that don't understand that grammar. Minimum viable product, basically the smallest fraction of the project that you can start with.
This,
so what was the last one?
The last one we said was be bold, be brave, especially as women.
Just
do what you need
to
do. Don't look over your shoulders. And
Go to Alaska.
Well, we are moving on to the hot topic of the day, and after the break, we'll be right back.
Hi guys, question for the day. Should a single woman have to change her dressing when she's visiting her newly married friend's home? Here's the story. I have recently severed ties with a newly married girlfriend of mine, Lola. Please pardon me if I'm willing to compromise 20 years of friendship from one single statement she made, but I am so pissed off. My friend throws a summer barbecue every year that has become quite popular amongst the crew. She is certainly the hostess with the mostest. It's at the back of her house by the pool with an amazing DJ, cocktails, and the best finger foods. This is the first barbecue after her wedding, and I'm not sure if the friendship dynamics change once a single chick leaves the fold, because her statements and facial expressions were blatantly disapproving of my outfit. I was wearing a black backless romper that I got from Zara. I'm petite, so everything hangs in the right place, and I must say, I looked rather cute that day. As soon as I rang the doorbell, my friend hugs me and gives me the once-over, and then passes a comment. Whose house are you coming into dressed like that? Followed by a loud chuckle. I took it as a joke at first and laughed it off until she made another snide remark about me meaning business with that outfit, and she hopes I don't snatch anybody's husband. Again, this was followed by a ha ha hee hee. I let it go on that day, but I couldn't wait to bring it up with her a few days later. I said to her, I felt some shade from you at the barbecue, and I'm sure there was some truth to the jokey statements that you made. She said yes, she felt my outfit was revealing from the gathering, and it showed too much leg and skin for the event. I cussed her out on the phone and told her to quit the bullshit and stop being so insecure. Telling me how to dress now that she's newly married is condescending, and I'm not having it. She claims she's echoing how most married women feel, and I should have been more appropriate to her event. Our friends have been trying to intervene and get us to speak about it, but I'm not over it. Is this something I don't see? An unspoken rule? Should you consider your outfits when attending an event with lots of married men? Is this an insecurity on my friend's part? Or should I have considered my outfit when visiting this my newly married friend's home?
Welcome back to Chick Chat Live, and now it's time for our hot topic of the day. So I'm going to start with you, Sika.
With the sauce.
So, you know, Sika with the sauce.
Put a bit of sauce on it.
So we're addressing modesty, and I don't even want to just highlight the single woman because it's the married women that are skank too. But how modest...
You would just get beat on the streets of Lagos, seriously.
No, because not all these single women that dress skank, you know. Skank
yeah, also married women that do
but
too.
But speaking to the story... Lala is the offender. She's the one that has offended her friend by saying something out of line. Do you think that she was scandalous in her appearance first?
We're going there.
Yeah.
Let's go there. Let's go there. Okay, listen, I am actually in the middle with this. I think both sides were at fault for different things. Number one, so this is how she's always dressed. You know, this is your girl. This is what she does. You know, she's all about her body. Mm-hmm. When you're inviting her to this event, I think... As friends, because if they're really close, just be like, girl, you know.
Tone down your...
I know you've got the body and everything, but just tone it down small because some of the people will be there. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. Just say it that way. But don't expect her to come, she's in her usual glory, and then attack her like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was the right way to go. Mm-hmm. You could have even seen and been like, oh, girl, you're looking hot. But yeah, my aunties and whatever are there, so...
Or bring something.
Bring. Do you want me to bring... You know, just don't make her feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. or less than what she is just because of how she's dressed.
But I just feel like, who is the authority on modesty? You know what I mean? Like, she's wearing what she's wearing. She looks cute. Nothing's hanging out. Right. Girl, do you? I don't feel like she should have to cover up because some husband cannot control his eyes. You know what I mean?
Well, that's but did she make any reference to anybody's husband?
Yeah, she did. She said, whose husband are you coming to steal here?
Oh, yeah.
But she said it in a jokey way. But I mean,
no, but I don't understand.
She read her.
Nah.
But I don't.
Are you saying nah, that's okay, or nah, that's not okay?
That comment is just wrong. If it was me, I would say that sometimes you just have to find one small bolero or something mm-hmm. if you're going to show off all these things. Because you can get up on her and get meat pie, bench to collect. That people are not stupid not mm-hmm. to look.
Right.
If she's uncomfortable, she just says something like, ah, should I cover small now? Right. But anyhow, I hope you're comfortable because you're going to be feeling awkward in this or something. Or get her something to cover up.
But that's
shame. I think the girl was feeling awkward though. The girl came in thinking she was cute.
Yeah, that's but she should know that, especially when you're Nigerian, girl. Forget anything
if
else.
If she was comfortable.
In your Nigeria, you're coming to that. Are we an event or should I say a party that you're used to coming? Now she's married and they're going to be husband, family too.
But I feel like, I understand that. So you're not bringing cultural, I think we're the biggest
culture is there. But no matter how...
It is a barbecue. Is it an appropriate outfit for a barbecue?
Well,
no. But when she's now married, because... Prior to that, she's been having this barbecue for a while. They've been friends for 10 years.
But that's when they're single girls.
You probably used to dress like that at some point.
But that's when they're single
girls. But how does it become automatic that I have to think to dress differently? And I'm not saying I agree with dressing scandalous.
It's communication.
It's just a thing of, you just know yourself.
It's a communication. If I'm very close to my friend.
Wait, but you were saying something.
He will go.
And a number of people, because I've had this conversation outside of here before, and you know, people say, oh, men are visual,
God.
You shouldn't tempt him, don't bring temptation to somebody's doorstep. I've heard
things
like,
watch TV, then
don't go to the beach, don't close your eyes. And that men, and some people felt a certain way about, if you're coming to my home, it's not forget the man, it's a respect my home issue. Do you have any issue with
that one? Yes, you have to
crazy in your
to an extent.
If somebody came to your home like that, do you personally
not like pouring out. Mm-hmm. Like if you come and you're wearing something see-through and I can see your bosoms and your nipples, or I can see your vajayjay.
I'll tell you to
whatever. I mean, that's extreme.
Then that's disgusting. But yeah. Then otherwise, you, if you're just dressed normally, then that's
over
fine.
20 years.
I don't care.
Wait, you know this girl for over 20 years. You've been through, you've gone to different events with her. I don't think she's changed. This is how she is. So if you want her to dress differently, because you know she's going to come the way
and
she's going to
come, her before
then
she
you
comes.
Should tell her.
Okay, so wait.
And if you don't tell her, don't be surprised that she walked in your door looking the way she always does.
Well,
and
I would,
it's hypocritical
someone
on
like
you.
Me, someone
wife.
Like me, I wouldn't
and
say...
And it doesn't matter whether you're married now or
like
not.
Someone like me, I wouldn't
this
actually attack. I'll probably just go, ah, happy birthday. Change your birthday.
Shame.
Something like that.
That's
no,
shame.
No, that's just me being girl. That's being aggressive. No, but that's like me being... Because I do that with my friends.
I hate that.
But that's the shade that she's complaining about.
It's the same shade. That's different words. One second. Lola was just trying to make her friend feel bad.
And that's not
and,
nice.
And she, no, the law is not nice now. Yeah.
But
we agree.
You can see
intentionally trying to poke at her friend and make her feel like, well, look, I'm married now. So, you know, you're single ass, you know, you can't
which
come
is, which,
to my
which
house.
Which is what I also
like, because, you know, my levels have changed. You know, no, we're not on the same level
that
anymore.
Idea
that was what Lola was trying to tell her.
So, Zara, do you think that if she was married and she came in that exact same outfit with her husband, that the reaction would be the same? Because I feel like there is a smiting of the single woman here, and I don't like that, because
well,
it's kind of like, it makes it okay if you have a man like on your arm and you're dressed like that, but then if you're single, nah. So culture is like, kind of like a bit, I don't know how to describe it, it's a bit hypocritical, that's the right word.
I almost feel like Lola's husband probably said something too, because it will happen.
Yeah.
Ah, that your friend is hot.
Right.
What a hot wife. Or maybe they're all having dinner. Like, ah, your wife is hot now. Mm-hmm. She did. So
your
Lola
friend,
is dying inside. Mm-hmm. You call me your husband, you're looking all hot, the same old thing. She'll still say, ah, now wow, you're married to me and still dressing like this.
Right.
Because she's pained by the fact that one can be herself. Because there's so many Lolas. Mm-hmm. Get married, forget your single friends.
Yeah.
You don't invite them out anymore.
So the Mrs. Syndrome.
You don't feel like they can give you homely advice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? Right. When that man leaves you, how are you? Because it happened.
Because I was going to say, she said when. Like,
when? Because girl. Lola will not hold that man.
She said
he will leave. That man will leave Lola.
Yeah.
She knows,
especially if her eyes, yeah, she's a bit,
scared.
Yeah, she's scared. Yeah.
She has to be
so
insecure.
There
you know who your man is. That's why you're funny, and you know, probably is that Lola's friend is the person he was eyeing before, but you now took the husband and married the man.
How do you create a whole different story?
Because you watch a lot of soap operas.
That was not
the story. She just created a backstory. There are a few things. If in the 20 years of them being friends, she's never ever shaded her for the way she dressed or things like that, then I think it's completely wrong on the part of Lola to do it now, then it actually tells him her insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with her friend.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
understand?
She don't curse her out, so they're not friends anymore, clearly.
Do,
and
do
she,
you,
you know, but do you think it's
saying?
Worth, can you recover from that? Because it's a mentality. It's not necessarily that you can't forgive her for the comment, but it's that whole Mrs. Syndrome, you know, they look down on you. You are down there. Hello.
Please, what is the Mrs. Syndrome?
Oh,
the,
you don't know what the let me school you, girl. So you know, people get married.
Yeah, well, Manu, please.
Can you see how my body language was like?
She backs me.
Manu,
like, let me tell you about these
efforts. Please, relax, my sister. Yes.
So Manu being the
only
married
one
on the show. So Mrs. Oh, Syndrome, a girl gets married, newly married. Ah. She doesn't remember her husband's name anymore. My husband. Maybe the guy's name was Kunle before.
Used to be.
And it used to be formerly known as Kunle.
No, but those are the
my husband.
They're the same
husband.
People that
when
they are dating, my fiancé,
Yes. So those are people
he has
who
a name.
Suffer from the Mrs. Syndrome.
Because
like,
in Nigeria, wait, not Nigeria, but maybe in Africa
mostly
getting
just
married
Africa.
Is an achievement.
It is.
Yeah,
no, but
we
want to
understand
too.
The Mrs. Syndrome.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so you don't have it. So you're cool. You're cool. You're safe.
Nobody's ever accused
what?
You of having
is
that.
People, they just, it's like my husband. There's some
nah.
of them. You don't, I mean, granted, some
my
people.
My kids,
if,
my husband.
If
my kids.
People don't know your husband's name, then you will not just come out and say, so Felix said, and they're like, who is this?
No, he will never, his name is dead.
You know what we're talking about.
His name is dead.
Has your definition of modesty changed from when you were single to now that you're married?
From when I was young, maybe.
Would you play host, co-host?
I'm actually
when I was younger, yeah.
No, when you were single.
But it wasn't, when you were single. It had nothing to do with being married. It was just about my age.
Yeah.
So when I was much younger and slimmer.
Girl, you still gotta go.
It actually had more to do with size than anything else.
So that's what I'm saying. Dictates modesty as well.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah. Because so you know when you're petite. When you're petite, it looks cute. Like, but guys, she's so cute.
So it doesn't look as vulgar or provocative.
When you're chunkers, you're asking a girl when...
skinny and dumb, but everybody expected to. I actually don't like showing my legs and butt and whatnot.
That's just
how I am. I believe what you can't see is what you fancy. Every now and then, people don't even know I have a butt.
What you can't see is what you fancy. Okay.
Like, even people don't know I have a butt. Sometimes I just went, no bet. I can't.
I think we're going to use that as the MVP comment of the day.
I love it.
What you can't see is what you fancy.
I don't fap it.
Well, thank you guys for coming. That is all we have time for today, unfortunately. But in summary, know your audience, know your size. What is it? Know your, well, if you're
dress
single,
code.
Married.
No,
dress code.
Always ask for the dress code.
Always ask for the dress code. And don't throw shade as a friend. We don't like shady friends. But we hope they can work it out.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, guys, you can join the conversation by using the hashtag ChickChatLive. If you have a topic, suggestion, or question you would like to ask, follow us on our social media handles scrolling on the screen. And you can join the tribe and subscribe to our channel. Until then, I'll see you next time.